Hello, this is Lafayette Faust. I want to take a moment and thank those of you who are leaving comments and rating us on your favorite platform. Doing that helps the algorithm push us out and will ultimately help us create more content. It would also help us if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel as we're trying to grow on that platform. I'm excited to announce that you can now send us fan mail. Just click on the link inside the show notes and tell us what you think, and if you want a response, please provide your email address. Finally, if you would like a souvenir piece of Nevermore Hollow's art, you can check out Black Sheep Studios TN. Chris Madman Goins has a number of Nevermore Hollow's pieces for sale, as well as many other pieces I think you'll love. With that being said, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. The Grim Tale of Grace Macabre, Chapter 37. Grace closed her eyes and steadied herself. She took a long, deep breath that did nothing to calm her racing heart or quiet her confused mind. "Are you sure you're okay?" Salome said through the door. "You've been in there a very long time." Grace opened her eyes and took one last look at her reflection. She was pale, and the beads of sweat had reclaimed her brow. She quickly used the wet napkin to wipe them away. She opened the door to see Salome standing in front of her with a concerned look. "I'm fine," Grace said. "I'm just not used to drinking wine." Salome seemed satisfied with that answer. "That can happen," she said, the mischievous twinkle back in her eyes. "I'll help you with the peanuts. It's almost time for everyone to start arriving, and we need to get upstairs." Grace looked at the time on her phone and was surprised it was nearly 8 o'clock. She tried to understand how the day could have flown by so fast. "Must be the effects of the wine," she thought, as she followed Salome back into the storeroom where they grabbed boxes of peanuts and napkins. They proceeded to the bar and laid them out within easy reach of the patrons. While she worked, Grace was able to chalk up the terrifying incident in the bathroom to the wine. It must have somehow magnified her self-doubt, which manifested itself in that horrible vision. When she put out the last of the peanuts, a young couple entered the room. The guy was in his early 20s and had short, spiked hair. He wore black jeans and a white t-shirt under a black vest. The girl was curvy and well-endowed. She was wearing an extremely tight, form-fitting dress that clung barely an inch below her buttocks. Salome introduced them when they reached the bar. "Grace, this is Evan and Lucinda. They will serve as the waitstaff and help tend the bar this evening." They passed a couple of minutes in small talk until Ari climbed out of the DJ booth that towered over the dance floor. As he walked toward the bar, another couple entered. The guy was black and dressed in hip-hop fashion and covered in tattoos. The girl was, as Grace was beginning to realize, as gorgeous as all the girls that surrounded Ari. A flame of jealousy burned through her. Ari introduced them as Devin and Lily. Devin was the DJ, and Lily would serve as a floater, doing whatever to help keep the party running smoothly. "We have about 5 minutes before we open the doors, so we need to all get in our places," Ari said. Devin turned to climb into the DJ booth. "There's already a crowd forming out there," he said, "and some of the costumes are stranger than usual." Evan and Lucinda stepped behind the bar. "There were about 100 when we got here, with more cars piling in," Evan said. Most of them are wearing masks or makeup of some sort to hide their identity, Lucinda said, but there are a couple out there who are just wearing glitter like those silly vampire movies. Barba shook his head in disbelief. Like real vampires would ever look so effeminate. Everyone in the room laughed. Grace found the laughter had a mocking quality, yet there was a hint of some shared secret or understanding that they were all privy to, except her. Ari led her to a door near the entrance to the DJ booth. The rest of the runaways followed. Behind the door was a set of stairs leading up to a VIP lounge that overlooked the dance floor. The room was decorated like some ultra-modern suite. The lighting was neon, with blues and reds being the most prominent. There were no chairs, only uniquely shaped couches. The artwork was museum quality, and Grace was shocked to see what appeared to be a real Jackson Pollock covering the far wall. There was a large pentagram-shaped coffee table sitting in the center of the room. On it was the bottle of ancient wine and more long-stemmed wine glasses. There were also plates filled with various hors d'oeuvres. "This room is amazing," Grace said. She walked over to the large painting on the far wall. "Is this a real Pollock?" "Yes," Ari said. "The owner is an avid art collector." "I saw one at a museum once," she said, noticing that the neon red and blue lighting made the painting look even more three-dimensional. She felt as if she could step into the painting. "But I was not allowed to be this close. How is it that something this expensive could be hanging on a wall here in Nevermore Hollows?" "Oh, it's completely safe here," Salome said, pouring glassfuls of wine. "You need to try some of these treats," she said. "They're different dishes from around the world." Grace walked over to the table and took the glass handed to her. Most of the food looked Mediterranean, while some may have been Indian and Chinese. Some she couldn't quite place. "Time to get a seat," Andre said. He took Neffy's hand and led her to one of the couches which sat in front of the glass wall that separated the suite from the dance floor. The glass would shield them somewhat from the loud music below. Barba and Amy sat at another couch and began sipping their wine and sampling the food. That left one couch and one high-backed stool. Salome gave Ari and Grace a playful look. "I'll take the stool," she said. "That way you two can sit together." Grace sat on the black velvet-covered couch and noticed that she could see perfectly down onto the dance floor. Ari grabbed a glass of wine and sat close beside her. His body radiated heat, and she felt a delicious warmth seep through her as he put his arm around her shoulders. As if suddenly remembering the food, he leaned forward, sat his wine on the table, and plucked a morsel of food from one of the plates. He again put his arm around her and held up the treat for her to see. "Try it," he prompted. "You'll love it." Grace saw that it was from one of the plates of food that she couldn't identify. "What is it?" "It's an Egyptian appetizer," he explained. "The recipe is thousands of years old, dating back to the earliest dynasty. It's called lamb sambusek." Grace reached out to pluck the morsel from Ari, but he pulled his hand from her. He shook his head playfully, and the meaning was clear. He wanted to feed the treat to her. Every single nerve in her body began to tingle with excitement. She allowed herself to be in complete submission, opened her mouth, and took a bite. And it was wonderful. Salome stood from the stool and looked down onto the floor. "Here they come," she said expectantly. "And it looks as if tonight is going to be especially freakish."